Good afternoon to all listeners. I'm Gabriel Kamzouli and will be conducting today's program, It's Debatable. This is a weekly discussion of current affairs in its second series. The program is run by the Department of International Relations. Today's subject is water and its role in politics and international relations. Today's participants are Charlie Starnes from the US, Sophie Lemaitre from France, Audrey Violanet from France, and Elisa Suarez-Almeida from Belgium. Dr. Carmen Sammut will introduce today's subject.
The scarcity of water is not only a matter of concern for countries with traditional low rain precipitation in the Middle East and the north of Africa. Insufficient water supplies, unreliable services, and the impact of environmental damage are having major global, social, and economic ramifications. All over the world, the per capita availability of water is declining and water quality is deteriorating. Many aquifers are on the verge of exhaustion. Climate change may also alter rainfall patterns. Although countries are making efforts to improve water policies, some of the most important elements of reform have remained politically intractable at an international level. In the meantime, various parts of the world are struggling to cope with a devastating drought. A recent edition of The Economist news magazine, published in April 2007, described how the two main Australian rivers, the Darling and the Murray, have been hit by years of drought and many more years of overexploitation and pollution. As hydrologists announced that the flow of the River Murray has fallen to a new record low, Prime Minister John Howard warned that farmers would not be allowed to irrigate their crops at all next year without unexpectedly heavy rain in the next few months. A region that accounts for 40% of Australia's agriculture and 85% for its irrigation is on the verge of ruin. The drought already dealt a blow to Australia's growth last year, and the lack of water is expected to leave a more serious and lasting economic fallout. Many of the world's rivers, adds The Economist, including the Colorado in America and China's Yellow River, are suffering similar plights. As the world warms up, hundreds of millions of people will face the same ecological crisis as the residents of the Murray-Darling Basin. As water levels dwindle, disagreements about how supplies should be used are turning farmers against city dwellers and pitching environmentalists against politicians, said the publication. If we have a look at our Mediterranean neighbours, they are facing similar concerns. The Tagus, which flows through Spain and Portugal, and Rome's Tiber River are also showing signs of drying up. But it is up in the north of Italy that the situation is hitting hardest. People can now watch the sinking River Ticino close to Milan. While Italian politicians delayed calling a state of emergency, the Italian Civil Protection Service has said the water loss could lead to electricity blackouts during the summer months. They also warned that rivers need to be replenished now with controlled water flows from big lakes and reservoirs in the Alps. A recent report by the World Wildlife Fund claimed that it is a combination of climate change and poor resource management which are leading to water shortages in even the most developed countries. For instance, Italy's water supply is supported by an aqueduct system that loses up to 42% of the water through transportation. Malta has always been an arid island, and in the past decades it has relied heavily on reverse osmosis plants for its water supply, as explained later in the programme by Mr. Stephen Zarafa from Water Services Corporation. As its other Mediterranean neighbours, the impact of climate change is being felt by the Maltese islands. On May the 3rd, the newspaper The Times underscored in its editorial the local concerns that Malta will face more extreme and have hazard weather patterns with prolonged heat waves, shorter and more intense rainy periods and longer, drier spells. As rainfall over the central Mediterranean is drastically reduced, Malta will face severe water shortages and its soil erosion will be accelerated. It added that the island's water aquifer is already in severe deficit Lack of water in the soil and rising sea levels will lead to increased salinity and could lead to diminished crop yields and desertification. While water conservation could be tackled at a local level by ensuring that the water infrastructure is well maintained, climate change cannot be addressed at a national level only. For many years, global warming has been one of the most noteworthy issues in the international fora. There are ongoing efforts to amend the Kyoto Protocol. Signed in Japan in 1997, the Kyoto Agreement assigned mandatory emission limitations for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions. As of December 2006, a total of 169 countries and other governmental entities have ratified the agreement. However, the United States and Australia did not sign it. India and China ratified the protocol, but they are not required to reduce carbon emissions under the present agreement. The Kyoto Protocol expires in 2012, and there are now moves for a follow-up deal that would require all the developing countries to meet the targets on gas emission.
Okay, so the first question is for Sophie. Why is water a global problem?
Water is important because it's needed for life to exist. Food and water are the two basic human needs. So the water is used for agricultural, industrial, environmental and household activities. And so like water demands are increasing, it becomes more and more a scarce resource and so plays an essential role in international conflicts. Nowadays, 1 billion people suffer from a lack of access to water and 2.6 billion are without improved sanitation. UNESCO's World Water Development Report of 2003 indicates that in the next 20 years, the quantity of water available to everyone will decrease by 30%. It is predicted that in 2025, water storages will be more prevalent among poorest countries where resources are limited and where the population growth is rapid. Moreover, in 2002, there were 263 transboundary basins listed. Approximately one-third of the transboundary basins are shared by more than two countries. Over the last 50 years, seven disputes about water have involved violence and 507 conflict events have occurred. International basins affect about 40% of the world's population, so therefore we can consider water as a global problem.
So, Charlie, why is water an important issue in international relations?
Politically, water is very important. It's all about power when it comes to who controls what water systems. In fact, this is how most of the conflicts arise and how many problems are created. It is with poor infrastructure and lack of control and organization within a government. On a positive note, water and politics also coincide when it comes to water reforms and investment into poor areas so that they can develop sufficient water programs. This in turn creates political dialogue between countries who have the water and those who need it. It can also help better relations between larger powers who take third world countries' water problems and invest the technology they need to develop an efficient and clean water system to support their people. When projects are started, for example, Egypt's plan for the high dam on the Nile, they will somehow impact the neighboring countries. In the absence of relations or politics, for that matter, the situation could turn to conflict rapidly, taking even longer to solve than needed. Politics and water are also intertwined when it comes to protecting water as a resource and the environment that we take it from. Otherwise, all will be polluted, destroyed, and unusable for life.
The economic causes of water are the global problem come from the scarcity of water. It involves then an increase of its price, of its value. So the power of the water control overpowered the economy as a pressure by the country which have the reserves. For instance, Israel does discriminatory price for Palestinian, which is the problem for the agricultural and industrial development. 16 cents per cubic meter for Israel culture instead of $1.20 per cubic meter for Palestinian. That takes also part to increase the gap between rich and poor countries over the world, create a distribution of powers to lead to more violence. The agricultural water needs that presents an impossible challenge for their economies. The watershed include groundwater of the region cannot meet the irrigation requirement.
Elisa?
Well, everywhere in the world, the demand for water increases. The majority is caused by the increase of the world populations, because every additional amount means an extra amount of water necessary to fulfill basic needs. These are food, drink, hygiene, and other domestic needs like washing the dishes, cooking a meal, laundry, bathing, watering the lawn or garden, and other household activities. As a consequence of this increase of the population, countries cultivate more agricultural land to have more food. But in order to extend the agricultural land, people begin to use grounds that are not really appropriate to cultivate. These grounds produce less because the quality of the soil is worse, and also because the soil is too dry. So in order to cultivate these grounds and to realize enough produce, people use more artificial fertilization and irrigation. And these have a lot of negative consequences, like exhaustion of the soil, desertification, pollution, and exhaustion of the water supplies. Another problem is the pollution from industries and agriculture. This can contaminate groundwater if not disposed of properly, and cause frustration for those who must travel to get sufficient daily water supplies. This lack of water quality can cause a conflict about the distribution of water. If water is not evenly distributed among people and countries, there can cause imbalance among those who share water supplies, particularly in developing countries. According to the UN Water Development Report, 300 to 500 million tons of heavy metals, solvent, toxic sludge, and other wastes accumulated each year from industry. Most of these get absorbed into the fresh water supply. In some developing countries, 70% of industrial waste are dumped into untreated water, where they pollute the drinking water.
Bones sinking like stone is all that we fall for. Homes, places we've grown, all of us are done for.
welcome to the second part of It's Debatable. Our guest speaker today is Mr. Stephen Zerafa, the head of public relations of the Water Services Corporation. Mr. Zerafa, how does Malta cope when it has such a low level of rainfall, and which are the key challenges in the area of water production in the Maltese islands?
One has to bear in mind that Malta and the Maltese, we have a culture where for centuries we have been aware of water shortages. So as a nation, we tend to quite naturally, look after this scarce resource. Another thing is even the way we build our homes and the way our gardens are set out. For example, we don't have lawns and we don't have other high water consumption activities normally associated with countries that are further north of the Mediterranean. This is why one cannot directly compare Malta's situation of low rainfall with non-Mediterranean countries. And another factor is that although we are very densely populated, 60% of our water is produced by reverse osmosis plants. The Water Services Corporation runs three reverse osmosis plants, one in Chircau, the other in Arlapsi, and the main one in Pembroke, producing roughly 17 million cubic meters of water a year. This water is blended with groundwater to produce potable drinking water, which is then distributed to around just over 400,000 people. Another factor which helps us cope with a low rainfall is the fact that our company, our Water Services Corporation, by this I also mean Malta, has undertaken a very aggressive leak detection and leak elimination exercise starting in around 1995. This means that whereas a fairly large proportion of water used to be produced, piped into the distribution system, and then lost underground, this is no longer the case. So much so that Malta is considered as, to be at the forefront of leakage detection technology. And this means that the little water we have is used wisely and is distributed wisely. Now turning to the challenges, the key challenges in the area of water production. Obviously, due to environmental concerns and to the greenhouse gases scenario, we have to reduce our dependency on RO plants. We have to encourage and be at the forefront of more water reuse. And water reuse, I mean treating wastewater, and rather than dumping it, as is done now, we have to learn how to use it for agriculture and for industrial use. We must also increase the efficiency of our RO plants, something we have done already, but we have to continue to strive to get more water from the sea at a lower energy cost. This has to be done because obviously we have a responsibility to our environment and obviously to our clients.
Can water be a source of international conflict?
We will give some example of the water as a source of international conflict. The main characteristic of countries which are concerned by water issue as international conflict are poverty, which involve a lack of precautionary measures against the water pollution and contribute to reduce the water resource. The poverty leads also to a dependence of the country to another country as a water resource. In instable situation, in the country where the water can be means of pressure, actually the absence of relation or institution conducive to conflict resolution because a flashpoint, heightening tension and regional instability. Dry climate where the scarce water leads to imbalance between supply and demand. The country become more sensitive to water issue. Country where the demand of water is considerable for economy development, for instance, where the main area of activity is agriculture. However, the water issue is not only present in the developing countries. The European countries are also affected by the lack of water and have to set up some strategies to manage to cure the need of population.
Okay. Charlie?
There are currently two major water conflicts in the Middle East, one being the Jordan River Basin and the other dealing with Turkey and its control over the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, involving Syria and Iraq. The more serious being the issue with the Tigris and the Euphrates. It may erupt in violence, it has tended to. Both rivers arise out of the mountains of Turkey, so Turkey has control over both rivers. Even though Turkey does not heavily rely on the rivers as a source of drinking water, they do have major plans on using most of it for their agricultural development. However, Iraq and Syria both heavily rely on these rivers as sources of renewable water supply to live off of, Iraq specifically. Turkey's $32 billion water development plan is called the Grand Anatolia Project, which includes a series of over 20 dams on these rivers. This reduces the flows of the rivers into Iraq and Syria. When new structures are built, completely interrupting the flow of the river is usually when the conflict occurs. Iraq has even threatened to bomb certain dams when they were being constructed. However, now Syria and Iraq are beginning to lobby the Arab League states to unite against Turkey and make a stand on the Grand Anatolia Project issue, so this threatens the political stability in the area.
Okay, so have you seen water has become the cause of certain conflicts in many regions, and it's also the case in Africa. In many parts of Africa, water shortages are part of life of people because many countries share one water resource for the use of their populations. Conflicts come from the privatization of the water resources by dams along the rivers and the unequal distributions of water supplies among the other sharing countries. With the growing demand for water resources, conflicts seem inevitable, also because of a poor management of resources by African government and because of inadequate conflict resolution mechanisms. For example, the Nile River Basin disperses water in 9 African countries and has become the subject of contention among countries sharing its basin. Egypt claims a natural historical rights on the Nile River and has used military force to ensure its control over the headwaters of the Nile because the country has no other water source. Sudan, Ethiopia, and Uganda have constructed various river projects to increase their annual water withdrawals, affecting Egyptian control over the Nile. However, some governments have agreed to share water that flows between their countries to prevent conflict. So adequate management of its water resources is crucial for the future of the African continent.
So to conclude our discussion today, what are the projections for the future?
Well, the increase of urbanization has risen the demand for water. But the supply cannot take care of the demand. With the problem of uneven water distribution, future conflicts can occur. As societies become more developed, they tend to use more resources such as water. Our water is becoming more and more scarce. It can become that scarce that it will be sold as the most expensive merchandise, only accessible for those who can afford it. Today, more than 1 billion have no access to drinkable water. Many societies are now threatened by a lack of water, which is a problem for the maintenance and development of their prosperity and well-being, and their international stability. The growing inequality in the distribution of water is leading to internal tensions and international conflicts. Worldwide, there are 263 river basins that are divided between more countries. If you link this with problems of water scarcity and growing poverty, The relation with internal and international conflicts is obvious. Rivers that flow over different countries can become instable regions with eventually armed conflicts.
Yeah, but however, solutions are provided by the international community in order to prevent international conflicts related to the issue of water. The international community is trying to develop institutional capacity and culture of cooperation, notably with the UN World Water Development Report, which aims to provide decision makers to implement sustainable use of water. PCCP is one of UNESCO's international hydrological programs. It aims at helping water resources management authorities to tip the balance in favor of cooperation potential away from potential conflict. A solution could be the promotion of greater water use efficiency or an improvement of communication among those who determine water policy. However, to avoid a lack of access to water resources and so to avoid conflict situations, it would be necessary to take measures to fight against climate change and global warming.
But there is also another negative point. It is a projection of global warming. Too much factor leads to reduce the quantity and quality of water. It will become more and more valuable, even more expensive and important than the fuel, because it contributes to the survival of people. So the water issue will take more importance in international conflicts. The effect of global warming could also link to large-scale migration of population, increased border tension, the spread of disease and conflict over food and water. All could link to involve military conflicts.
However, violence over water seems neither strategically rational nor effective. Shared interests along the waterway seem to consistently outweigh the desire to create conflict over water. The greatest threat of the global water crisis then comes from the fact that people and ecosystems around the globe lack access to sufficient quantities of water at sufficient quality and of water at sufficient quality in their well-being.
Thanks for those who participated, Charlie Starnes, Sophie Lemaitre, Audrey Vialenay, and Elisa Suarez-Almeida. Thanks to those who all, contributed to today's program. Join us for the next program that will be discussing Hamas and Palestinian politics.